Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. And today is February the 28th, 2014. This is the last day, and we're moving on into March. But with me today is Jana Flagg. She is our guest who is an author, a speaker, an inspirational humorist, a member of the Christian Comedy Association, and has two released DVDs, Who Put the Elephant in My Stocking, and Been There, Got the Wig. She is formerly a TV news on-air reporter in Los Angeles and college professor of broadcasting, arts, and speech communication. Jana's an ovarian cancer survivor and founder of the Been There, Got the Wig Breakfast Club and Ministry, who shares her story of challenging her battle with fear using humor, a positive attitude, and faith to inspire others to never give up. Jana, good afternoon. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great, Technisha. I'm so excited to be with you today.
I'm glad you're here, too. And it's an honor. Thank you for taking the time out to spend with the audience and I.
All right, let's do it.
All right. So, Jana, tell a little about your background and battling fear.
Well, you know, I was a health nut, and I did everything that you're supposed to do to not get cancer, and I was misdiagnosed for over a year, like a lot of women, and finally went into the hospital for what was expected to be a routine hysterectomy, and I awoke 2 full days and nights later. Now, you know, I had requested that little bikini cut that I had heard about, just a tiny little cut, and I thought I'd wake up in a couple of hours, and the next week I'd be, you know, up and around and back in the mall. And that isn't what happened. I woke up 2 full days and nights later and was told that they found stage 3C ovarian cancer, which had spread, and I was in great pain. I was cut from the pelvic bone all the way up between my ribs and had over 80 staples and spent 1 month in a, I'd never been the patient before, and so I sure wasn't expecting it to be such a big hit. I spent a month in a rented hospital bed at home before starting 5 rigorous months of chemotherapy, followed by a second-look surgery using the same big cut, and another month in a rented hospital bed. And despite all that in the treatment, my gynecologic oncologist told me that it won't cure me but only buy me some time. So I tell you, the worst part of battling cancer was not the disease, but it was the battle against fear that totally overwhelmed me and robbed me of hope and threatened to defeat me. And boy, in that moment, you know, just decades of faith were just chipped away, and you know, I was down for the count.
Was there ever
so that's what qualifies me for knowing fear.
Well, Jana, in that moment of time, did you feel like God was not there for you?
You know, when I first woke up in the hospital in the dark, in great pain, and I was all alone, and you know, I knew something had gone wrong, but I didn't know what. And the first thing I said was, God, I still love you. And then I said, Lord, are you in this with me? Do you know what happened? Do you know where I'm going to go from here? And are you going to be with me through this? And it was like a whisper. It was like a whisper that I heard God say, you're going to have a Been There ministry, and you're going to help other people. And I thought, oh, boy, that doesn't sound good. You know, that does not sound good. There sounds like there's going to be some suffering in there. And, you know, and why can't I just have something like a muffin ministry, you know, and bake for people or something? But, you know, but I did feel that, you know, I didn't know what I was in for, and I was, you know, extremely scared, but I did hear his voice. I did know he would be in it with me, and that he was going to be in charge, not me.
Now, Jana, how did you actually come up with the idea for Been There, Got the Wig Breakfast Club and Ministry?
You know, I didn't have anybody to walk before me in this process, and there's so much information, and it's so frightening, and the doctors just give you the medical facts, the medical statistics, but they might leave out a few details like, you know you're going to lose your hair with chemo, but they forget to mention that also means your eyebrows and eyelashes. And so when eyebrows and eyelashes fall out, then it was easy to think, uh-oh, something's gone wrong and it's not working, or I'll never have eyebrows and eyelashes again. And so what I did was I reached out to other women who were going through the same thing I was, going through chemo at the same time, so that we could inspire and encourage each other. And so I created the Been There, Got the Wig Breakfast Club, and that is my trademark phrase, Been There, Got the Wig, and I have a few of them. And our motto is that a cheerful heart is good medicine. And, you know, friends and family can help to a certain point, but then friends and family need their normal life. So we need the cancer patients or anyone going through a hardship need to connect with people who are going through what they're going through and really share that empathy. So it was a positive, it is a positive, upbeat, faith-based group, very small, intimate group of two or three or four that gather for breakfast. And we just celebrate every day that we're still alive. We celebrate God and we celebrate breakfast.
And that's how you're supposed to live. You don't claim it. That's how you're supposed to live. You are to celebrate it to the fullest. Don't
right.
Say, and most, yeah, I like that idea. You're
right.
Happy. A lot of people just went down, straight down. Oh, I got this, and now that's it. No, that's not the end of the word you want. You did
that's
just right.
And it's a choice.
Yeah, it is. You do have a choice. You either choose to want to be happy and fight it, or you can sit down and be miserable. So you chose to fight it and be happy. Now, Jane,
that's right. And
I'm sorry, Jane, go ahead.
I was just going to reiterate what you just said. It is a choice, and I love the name of your show, Bright Side. You know, it's a choice to look at the bright side. And somebody might say, well, there isn't any bright side. Well, there is. It may take some work to find it, but there is the bright side, and it's that choice to choose hope instead of fear.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I came up with the title. Well, someone helped me with the title, but I thought about it. I said, it's always a bright side to everything. And when I was in college, I had a show called Win Away from the Insights of Negativity, because I once almost gave up. And I said, why give up when you're almost to the finish line? So
Yeah,
that makes perfect sense. You are there to the finish line. Why give up? There ain't no point in giving up, and God will not forsake us. So if he's
That's
there
right.
for you, darn it if you give up. If you don't give up, you can't give up.
That's right. That's right. And that's what kept me going. I knew he wouldn't give up on me. So how could I give up? I couldn't give up.
Exactly. Now, Jaina, in your book, I love it, Fight Fear and Foster Faith, you provide practical tips to knock out fear and move forward. What are the three most important things someone who's facing a hardship can do to fight fear?
Well, we kind of touched upon the first one. It has to do with looking on the bright side, and that is to adopt a positive attitude. And secondly, to program your heart, your spirit for victory and not defeat, and then to take steps to add humor to your daily routine. So those are the three, like, umbrella categories.
Okay. Now, is there anything that one can do to acquire and maintain a positive attitude? Just to keep, because sometimes you fall back and you get back into that negative state.
That's right. And it might be harder for some people that just naturally see the glass as half empty instead of half full. But these tips really do work to help to keep us going towards hope. And that is, so the first thing to acquire and maintain a positive attitude, I found, is to hang out with positive people, because hope is contagious. It's contagious. You can catch hope from other people. And the other side of that coin, Technisha, is to avoid negative people, even if they're related, but avoid negative people, because their comments, are what can produce fear, because fear comes from believing the wrong things. So seemingly innocent remarks like, oh, there's no jobs out there, nobody's hiring, or in my case, ovarian cancer is always deadly. That can be a fiery dart that the enemy uses to plant those seeds of fear in your heart and in your brain. So the tip is, don't walk away from negative people. Run.
Okay, I like that one. Don't walk, but run.
Yep.
Yeah, that's one way of ignoring any comments that you actually heard, because there are negative comments you hear, and that's the first one, like you were saying, people say you die from ovarian cancer, and no, you don't have to take that. You can make a way. You just have
and
to
also,
run from it.
Yeah, and you had mentioned, you know, ignoring a comment. Like, how do you ignore a comment you've already heard? It's already gone inside your head. And that can be a battle, but you can win that struggle by not meditating on it, by not claiming it, that negative thought, by not repeating it, because what we say, we hear, mm-hmm. and we take it in to us. So by not repeating it, but then also countering the negative message with a positive statement, like, oh, I know the economy's hard now and their jobs are scarce, but I believe God is going to open a door for me. I'm going to get up and get ready, and I'm going to prepare, and I'm going to believe for that opportunity. So I actively countered a negative message. So someone says, oh, you're in remission now. I know they're trying to be positive, but remission, the definition is that you're currently without cancer, but it has the connotation of it can come back anytime. So I always counter it and say, no, I'm healed by Jesus' stripes, and this illness will not come back again.
I know that's right. Don't claim it. He can remove anything that you have. He can remove it. You just have to trust and believe him.
Yep.
He can.
Yep.
He sure can. How did you come to use humor in all this?
Well, I had always, you know, seen humor in every day, and one of my mottos as a, you know, humorist and speaker is that a day without laughter is a day wasted. That's a quote that's credited to Charlie Chaplin. A day without laughter is a day wasted. So some of the things were just kind of, you know, natural. Funny things, you know, there are funny things that happen in a hardship. For example, when the word got around that I had cancer, a lady came up to me in church, and she apologized. She said, I'm sorry that I didn't get to know you. And I'm touching my arm, my face, like, hey, wait a minute, I'm still here, aren't I? You know. And then she turned and walked away. So she just missed her second chance to get to know me. And another person came running up to me and said, I'm so happy that I'm not you. Well,
okay.
You know, rather than get offended by this, you know, rather than get offended, I thought, you know, they don't know what to say. But it started me thinking, Technisha, I thought, maybe there's a cancer card to play here. And I tried it out when I went to return an expensive camera cable to a store, and the manager had explained to me that I would not get the refund because the deadline had passed for that. And as he turned to walk away from me, I blurted out, I'm a cancer survivor. And I lifted my shirt, and I showed him that fresh, huge, ugly scar that ran the length of my body. And, boy, his eyes bugged out, and he gave me that $40 real quick, and I was out of the store. And I thought, hey, this cancer survivor thing isn't bad. I could work this for a while. So I went home, and I stood in front of a mirror to lift my shirt to see what it is that the manager saw that was so persuasive. And when I did that, I realized I had accidentally lifted my shirt too high, and I flashed the guy in the store.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, now I'm not sure why I got the refund. But I can never go back to that store again. Well, that, you know, at the time it was embarrassing, but now I think that's a funny story, and it makes me giggle every time I, you know, every time I think about it. And you better believe he probably never forgot it either.
Like, oh, my. I was not expecting that one, but here you go. You need your money. I got it right here.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's important that to counter negative comments with positive statements?
You know, it's so important because the words not only reflect our attitude, but words can shape our attitude. So positive speech promotes positive attitude, and, you know, and by focusing on the positive aspect, looking on the bright side does help to, you know, elevate our mood and our perspective. It reinforces our choice to look at the bright side. So it really is important to, you know, maintain that positive attitude, that our words are important too, not just, you know, what other people say to us.
It is. It is. And words are so powerful, and people don't think about that. And when you say certain things, you can't retract it back. It's no, I'm sorry.
That's right.
You can say sorry, but it's too late. Once it's out there, it's out there. There's no,
it's out there.
Word. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, So, Jaina, what role do our own words play in fighting fear?
Yeah, the tongue, God says that the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who say that they can rise above their circumstance and those who say they can't, guess what? They're both right. And so jobs are like containers or vessels, and they convey either fear or faith, and they produce after their own kind. So if you look at it this way, you know, I came to believe that, you know, I came to realize that fear is the reverse of faith, that if I'm walking in fear, that faith is really smaller than a mustard seed. If I'm walking in faith, then I can knock out that fear. So I think of it this way. It's kind of like a prize fighter in training where my own words were programming my heart, my spirit, for victory and not defeat. So it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Okay. That makes perfect. Yeah, I like that. That definitely makes all sense. Why do you feel that having that humor and laughter is important in the fight against fear?
Well, I learned that humor is a powerful weapon against fear because it can diffuse or lessen that fear by redirecting our focus onto something more lighthearted. And you know that when we laugh, it lifts our spirit. When we laugh, we feel better. When we feel better, it's easier to have hope, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I love to laugh. I do it all the time. I do. I love it. It just brings. And sometimes you laugh to keep from crying.
Uh-huh.
It's a great remedy.
It is. It's life's medicine. God made us that way and says that a cheerful heart is good medicine.
Yeah, and it makes us feel better. Laughter always makes us better. Can you tell about an example of finding humor in your hardship?
You know, another thing that happened to me was I mentioned I had never been the patient before. I was doubled over. I was anemic after months of being misdiagnosed and having cancer growing in me. And I was scared to death, 6 in the morning, to be prepped for first major surgery. And then the nurse came around the corner, and she turns out she's a neighbor of mine. I didn't even know my neighbor was a nurse. So I thought, oh, good, this is great because she's a professional. She is going to make me feel better. And she asked me why I was there. And I told her I'm in for a total hysterectomy. And I thought, oh, she's going to diffuse my fear. Well, she didn't. She winced. She made a face. And she said, ooh, that's the worst operation you could have. Painful, painful. Well, at first I laughed because I thought, you know, she's trying to cheer me up, you know, with a little hospital humor and satire. No, she kept it up. She kept saying, oh, God, oh, terrible, terrible. Well, then I got angry at her because, you know, I told her, I said, hey, knock it off. I need reassurance. I need comfort. I need to hear just positive thoughts and not any negativity at all. And she kept it up as she wheeled my gurney into the operating room. She just sucked in more air through her teeth. Painful, painful, painful. And so luckily by then the happy juice that the anesthesiologist had given me had started to kick in. And I, you know, as I drifted off, I just hoped and prayed that it wouldn't be as bad as she predicted.
Yeah, exactly. No, Jane, I was kind of took a look. Jane was, the way you said it, Jane was like, no, you're really making this sound terrible now. Like, and some people can. You just really want to remove them when they start talking when they start talking negatively. You're like, okay, I don't want to hear this.
That's
trying to think positive, and you're over here, you're really making it worse. Can you, like, leave? Go.
Right. In fact, we did ask her to go. I had my husband ask for another nurse.
Jaina said we thought you out. You didn't know my nurse. Keep hauling back down the back. Talking about ooh and ah. It's not making it any better.
Yeah, you're not helping. We're saying you're not helping the situation. Would you leave now?
Yeah. And then we'll make it even worse. She's the nurse doing it.
Yeah, I know. And I never talked to her about it later, and I'm sure she is just totally unaware that of her lack of looking at things on the bright side.
Yeah,
so I figured it wouldn't do any good. It wouldn't do any good to try to enlighten her.
Supposed to have been helping, and she wasn't doing that at all. But, Jane, you're amazing. What is your life like living without fear?
You know, living without fear, I have a new appreciation for life that I didn't have. Every day I wake up, I'm just so grateful and happy to wake up. And you know, I have to fight the fear that, anytime I have an ache or pain or anything in my body, that little voice inside the back of my head says, uh-oh, you know, it's back. So I have to continually fight the fear when it comes against me. But I have a new, deeper faith and walk with the Lord. That was the gift of cancer. And also that I appreciate each day. And then also, you know, it really made a point with me that life is short. Life is really short, and I may not live another 25 years as I plan to. And so I wear my good clothes every day. I don't save them for good or save them for when I feel better. I order dessert whenever I want. And, and I thank God every morning that I put on my makeup, I thank God that I have eyebrows and eyelashes today. And that those examples might sound frivolous, but they're not. It's just a new appreciation of the time that I have and the mission that I'm on to inspire other women to have the hope and courage they need to go through difficult circumstances or a hardship and to go through it with them, that they're not alone. So there's healing in knowing that we're not alone. So what that has also given me is, you know, a great passion. Whether I have 2 years left or 20 years left, I'm running harder and faster than ever before to try to get out there and meet as many women and laugh together and encourage one another.
I know that's right, and I hope they do find that encouragement through your book, and that's because it's very powerful and inspiring. Now, Dana, what was your life like doing all the news reporting and being a college professor?
Well, you know, God directs our steps, and sometimes we don't recognize that. I was in broadcasting and loved doing that, and then got into teaching broadcasting and speech communication. And during those years, I was also doing some public speaking, but about secular topics, about attracting media coverage, and also some other interpersonal topics and so forth. And not realizing that all that was training. All that was training. It was like I was going to school for a time such as this. And so it was fun. It was exciting. I loved, being in Hollywood. I interviewed a couple of presidents of the United States and had an opportunity to do a lot of things that most people don't get to do. And that was great fun. But when I look at the big picture of my life, it all worked together to bring me to where I am today for a time such as this.
And see, that's what really attracted me to you, because I am a communication media studies major. Well, I was.
Uh-huh.
I graduated 3 years ago from that, and I'm still trying to get into the news industry, but I just feel sometimes God might have a different angle, and sometimes when you're not listening and you choose to do what you want to do, it's not going to work out.
That's absolutely true, and I wanted to stay in it longer and so forth, but I was in it just long enough, about 10 years in Hollywood, just long enough to get the experience I needed that was a springboard to the next thing. And just like you, that you probably have the opportunity to reach so many more people on your talk show than you might have been able to if you did a little feature reporting and all those TV, all those TV jobs, other than about a half a dozen people you could count on one hand, two hands, that, you know, most of those broadcasting jobs are very temporary. And so, you know, that for a time such as this, you probably can touch a lot more people and have a greater impact with your show, Brightside, and also that you are, you know, free to talk about your faith that you wouldn't be able to do in broadcasting.
No, and you can't. And usually when I go online, I do find them positions. They're very scarce, and they want you to do so much. So I do. I put in my applications. I give my resume. Don't hear nothing back. But I say, you know what? I'm not going to hold my breath, Jane. I'm going to do something that I did when I was in college, radio. I love to talk. I like to be personal.
Uh-huh.
That's me. I love to make people laugh. Even when
yeah.
I'm trying to be serious, they still laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know,
Jane,
God, that's – go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, God opens doors, and that's the great thing about another thing that I learned through the experience that I went through about fighting fear and fostering faith, and that is that, you know, God truly is in charge, and you know what? I want him in charge because he does a better job with my life than I do. And so mm-hmm. when we look at it that way, that he's directing your steps, you know, if he wants you – you know, if he wants you on a network someday, he will open that door and you will have, you know, great favor and so forth. So meanwhile, you're exactly where you're supposed to be, and I'm glad you are. Love your show.
Thank you, Jane. I love it, too, because it not only inspires me, but I just feel like I want to inspire others who want to quit, who want to give up, and I want them to know that you don't have to do that. You can do
right.
whatever you want. Do because tomorrow is not promised to us, so let's take advantage of today.
Right. Right. And God didn't give us the spirit of fear, so we need to just, you know, knock it out, defeat fear, and get on.
Well, that's why I tell people I don't fear no man or woman down here. I only fear God.
Mm-hmm.
So, what they tell you, wear your breastplate of armor.
That's right.
Now, besides when you came to know the Lord. What is the happiest day in your life?
Oh, wow. You know, there are so many. I can't say the happiest day. You know, I waited for my husband. I didn't meet him till I was 30. We got married at 32. We have our 32nd wedding anniversary coming up this month. So, you know, obviously, you know, that's a biggie in my life. We went to Russia and adopted our son when he was 10 weeks old. And now he's 20 years old and in college. You know, there are so many, many days that are, you know, the best, happiest days of my life, and that's the joy of living on the bright side. There are so many happy days.
Oh, I bet. And just to go to Russia, I would love to. That's what I want to do. I just want to travel.
Well, you know, God gives you the desire, and then he gives you the desires of your heart. So get your passport.
Okay. That's exactly what I'm going to have to do. Now, publishing your book, how has that really changed your life?
Well, you know, some people might have the idea that you get a book published and then people just come knocking on your door with TV cameras and they want to put you on, you know, Good Morning America or years ago when Oprah had her show. And it just isn't that way. I think that, you know, having a published book adds credibility. I've been a speaker for over 35 years, but having a book, you know, adds a new dimension. But I have to tell you the greatest thing. It's not about selling books. It's about getting the books in the hands of other people, especially women. I have a heart for women, to encourage them. So the greatest thing for me is every once in a while when a woman will come up to me and she's in tears and she says, thank you for writing the book. It gave me hope. It gave me a laugh. It changed my life. I even heard from a woman. I got an email from a woman in Sweden, and she had bought my book from Amazon.com in the UK, and
wow.
And she does not have cancer, but she says she suffers from a brain injury, and she said, I need hope and faith every day and humor every day just to get through. So she was, contacting me about, how that book gave her a few hours of hope and humor and built her faith. So that is, that is why, I wrote the book, and that is what it is about. It's about, getting that word out there to other people to not give up, never give up. So I'm really in the hope business, in the courage and the hope business, and encouraging other people, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up.
Yeah, and that's what God did. He took you as his angel. He needed you for the spokesperson to speak on this.
Well, years ago, as a baby Christian, I was in my 20s, and I had asked God for a ministry, and I wanted God to use me, like probably a lot of Christians do. Oh, use me, God. I'm an empty vessel. Use me. Well, guess what? I had no idea what I was asking for. I had no idea that if he's going to use us to minister to other people, to help other people, then we have to have been there. We have to have gone through something terrible and gone through the fire. Otherwise, we can't help other people who are going through a hardship.
Yeah.
So, so it's, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. Going through the fire is very tough, but I wouldn't trade it for anything, because when you're doing what God has trained you to do and put into you, like we said earlier, God doesn't waste any of our life experiences. He uses them for good. Boy, that is the major blessing in life, and it's really making a difference for the Lord.
It is. I love it. It is. It's a beautiful. It's gorgeous. Now, Jaina, are there any symptoms that women should notice if due to the fact of ovarian cancer?
It's there definitely are symptoms, and part of the problem is that the symptoms can be so slight or common to women. I was told over and over again, you're just a middle-aged woman, and they upped my hormones and then sent me home. Bloating,
okay.
change in digestive, bathroom habits, pain, pressure, fatigue. And I'm trying to think what else. There's about five or six of them, and I had all those symptoms. So the National Ovarian Cancer Group warns women that if you have any of those symptoms for more than a couple of weeks, that you should go to a gynecologic oncologist. You should go to an ovarian cancer specialist. Now, there is no screening test for ovarian cancer. The pap smears only test for cervical and other things. There is no screening test for ovarian cancer, but there is a blood test, a CA-125. C as in Charlie, A as in apple, CA-125, and that is a tumor marker. It's similar to men having a blood test for their PSA level. And so, anything under the number 35 is normal, and mine was 71, so it was I had that as well. So those are the symptoms, and I just knew that after a lifetime of knowing my body, we women know our bodies. So I kept going in and saying, "This, I feel like I'm living in somebody else's body. This doesn't feel like me. This is different." I also felt pressure. I described that there was something, it felt like something was growing inside, pressing, another symptom is frequent urination, getting up in the middle of the night a couple times to go pee. Well, that's because there could be tumors in there that are pressing on the bladder. But again, it's also can be common to getting older.
Mm-hmm. And as they say, it is a silent killer, and it can strike women of all ages. But what are some other things women may have to do to prevent this, Jaina? Maybe like change over your eating habits, exercise regularly?
Well, eating healthy and exercising are always good, and they say that if you do that and exercise a half hour a day, it's a good preventive measure against breast cancer. one of the gynecologic oncologist specialists that we saw this told me that I didn't do anything to cause this. I was healthy. I was a health nut. Now, there are certain risk factors, like being on hormone replacement. I was on Premarin and Provera for 17 years. And so some studies say that that might be a contributing factor. However, the other factors are having never given birth, never been pregnant, never giving birth, and then also a major risk factor for all types of cancer is just age, getting older. And while younger people can have ovarian cancer, the average age is 56. And a lot of people, I meet a lot of women, and they're up in their 70s, and I can see the look on their face when I'm speaking to them, and they kind of have an attitude like, well, I've made it this far, you know, I dodged a bullet, you know, but age is a factor as well. So to answer your question, there's nothing that we can do to prevent it, but and that's not medical advice, that's just my opinion and based on my experience. But I would just say, number one, women, know your body. Know your body, and if your doctor's not listening to you and can't find anything and it keeps going on for weeks, then you go to a cancer specialist, and then they know what to look for. So I can't blame the three good doctors that missed it and misdiagnosed me, because they were not cancer specialists. They didn't know what they were looking for. But you go to a cancer specialist, and they can more readily recognize the symptoms.
Now, Jana, what are some fun things that you do to get your mind off a lot of stuff in your spare time besides maybe writing, or are you doing any more writing right now?
Not writing right now, but, you know, I am a humorist, a speaker, and what I love to do the most is to fill up my wall calendar with speaking engagements. I speak at women's conferences and conventions and survivor conferences and even little, you know, MOPS groups at churches and so forth, anywhere I can get out and hang out with women, because women are fun. And so it's a full-time job preparing. I've got a speaking engagement I'm preparing for in a week, and then another one after that, another one after that. So I'm busy, you know, preparing. And what I do, Technisha, is really kind of different. I don't show up with a note card and a Bible. I show up with 40 visuals and props, and I come in the door with all sorts of equipment on my IV pole and my walker. And I've come up with some alternative uses for some of those common medical equipment. So it's quite a production, and it's with humor and comedy and storytelling and demonstration. And so that's, you know, my passion. I would rather be, you know, doing that than anything else.
Yeah. Now, Jana, there's a question I wanted to ask, because I know that you're a mother. Now, during all this, How were your children able to deal with this situation? Because it is a lot being a parent. We have to do so much. Worry about ourselves and our kids.
Well, that was my greatest fear. Of course, the greatest fear with cancer is that you're going to die, and you're going to die too soon. And I want to die someday and spend eternity with Jesus, but not yet. My boy at the time was just in middle school, and he told me. He said, you mean for my entire seventh grade, you're not going to cook or shop or clean or go to my ball games or drive me to school or do anything? So, you know, obviously, you know, the children take it from their perspective.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't have the heart to tell them, hey, I'm fighting for my life here. I just want to see you grow up, you know. And besides, I have to be around to pick out his wife someday. He doesn't believe me when I say that. But so I'm sure that he and my husband had their own fear. They just didn't voice it or show it. And I tried to be as upbeat as I could, but it's really hard when you can't get up off the floor from treatment. So I'm sure that was a concern for him, and I think that when he's older, and he reads the book, which he's not interested in now, then he knows that I'm a miracle, that God healed me. But I think when he's older, he'll really understand when his walk with the Lord is longer than 20 years. I think that he'll have a greater understanding. And my husband is also a prostate cancer survivor, and he was also told he wouldn't live 3 years, and that was 12 years ago. So, you know, we are living miracles here, giving God the glory, and I would hope that that is the lesson for my son, is that we went through those terrible times, and we did not turn our back on God. We trusted God.
Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, made me think, some people do, they blame God for every little thing. But no, God has his reasons to everything. We might don't see it right then and there, but he has his reasons. And look at you. You right here now on the show, you've been doing previous shows, blogs and everything. You're a testimony, Jaina. You are. God brought you through all this. There is no doubt about it.
No doubt about it, and to God be the glory, to God be the glory. I know that's exactly why I'm still alive, and I just want to, like I said, I want to keep doing this as long as I can.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, Jane. I am.
Thank you.
You could tell on and on. Jane, was there any difficulties in writing this book to put everything out on the table?
Boy, you know what? Good for you, Technisha. No one has ever asked me that question, and I think it's an important question because how many other people, everybody has a story. Everybody has a story worth telling that God would use for good. And maybe like me, they're not telling it because I didn't want to relive it. I didn't want to have to sit down and think about it and face that fear and that terror of leaving my family too soon and the pain, the physical pain and so forth. And so I had written it for about 6 months. And then I had to, walk away from it. The first version was just finding the funny in my fight against cancer. And it was just about the funny things. And then I just put it down because I felt, that's not book. That's not the book. And I just prayed about it, God, write the book you want me to write. It's your book. And then I just had to spend a lot of B-I-C, which stands for butt in chair, to sit in the chair and just do it every day, about 14 hours a day for several months. And that's all I did. I didn't cook or clean or anything, but God was giving me the information and I was writing it down as fast as I could. And also I lost 7 pounds because I wasn't eating. So that was good too. So the second time around though, I realized that the value in being there, having been there, the value is sharing that story with someone else so they can say, wow, she has a scar like I did. I don't hide the scar because the scar shows that I've been hurt. The scar is evidence that I've been healed, and that scar is empathy. So I no longer regret that scar doesn't go away. And I lift my shirt and I show women, and sometimes they lift their shirt and say, hey, I have the same tummy you do. So, it was so important, and I would want to encourage other people, other women especially, tell your story because it's going to help somebody else and it's going to inspire somebody else. And, of course, we've already talked about, I'm with you, throw the bright side in on it so that it's encouraging and inspiring.
Okay. Now, Jaina, I know you spoke of Persian throughout your book, but was there ever a point in your time where it was hard to maybe forgive someone or let someone actually go?
I didn't hear that first word that you said. You said I spoke of what?
I think in your book you were talking about purging.
Uh-huh.
And I want to know. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I think that what I had to let go of was that I was very angry for being misdiagnosed for over a year, and I kept going back to the same doctors. And it was really displaced anger, because I was angry about having cancer after I did everything, eat blueberries and exercise, and I did everything to not get cancer, and then I got cancer, not only cancer, but the deadliest kind of gynecologic cancer. So I did have to, I had to face that, you know what, it wasn't their fault. I touched upon this a few moments ago. That it wasn't their fault, because they weren't cancer specialists. But you know what I did, Technisha? I went back to each one of those doctors and I confronted them. And it took me over a year because to get up my nerve, because I knew I needed to walk in there with a forgiving heart, and I had needed to walk in there prayed up that the Lord would give me the words that would honor Him. And not just be angry at something that really was beyond their control. But I want to add, what I was mad about wasn't that they missed it, because they were not cancer specialists. It wasn't their fault. What I was mad about is that at a certain point, after months of going in there over and over again, that they didn't say, hey, you know what, this is beyond me. Why don't you go to a specialist? And when I asked for an ultrasound, I would have been paying for this out of pocket, so it was nothing against them. You know, it's like, okay, well, just give me the ultrasound. I mean, if I'd have had that, if I'd have known at the time to really jump up and down and just demand it, that would have found the tumors, you know, months before. It may not have had it may have affected the staging that I had of the cancer. But, you know, bottom line is it worked out the way to, for God's glory, and the way that He wanted it to work out for. And it wasn't about me. And I had to come to terms with that.
Yeah. And you're right. If they didn't know something, they just should have went on and said, look, this is way beyond my league. We're going to pass it on to someone else. But I'm just glad you still kept that faith, Jaina. That was the most important factor of it all. Jaina, did you ever one time, though, because I know that you went through this battleship, this was a fight for you. Did you ever think that once, ever in a million, that you were going to get to this point right here talking to other people about all this?
Yes and no. You know, right when I woke up in the hospital, you know, I felt the Lord told me, when I asked Him, why am I going through this? And I felt that He said, you'll have a been there ministry. And so I knew it was going to go somewhere, but I'm sure I don't really can grasp how far this is going to go. And, you know, been there, you know, mine has been there, got the wig. It's dealing with cancer, helping women with cancer, and then helping others fighting fear that comes with any hardship. But when you think about it, you know, been there ministry is for anything. People who have been there and been divorced, or have, you know, been, you know, lost their home or whatever. So, you know, there is great need for people to step forward in the name of the Lord and reach out to others, you know, to inspire others. So I had an inkling of where it was going, but and I have a vision of where it's going too. I'm just not going to say I used to figure out, Tanisha. I used to think, why doesn't God just show you the whole plan? And tell you, you know, take this class, work here, buy this, make this, write this. You know, I think that if He showed us all, that it would be so overwhelming that we wouldn't do it. So it has to be step by step.
Mm-hmm.
And Him directing our steps.
Exactly. I agree with that all the way. I'm really enjoying this with you, Jaina. But this is inspiring. I almost wanted to cry because I felt like I was right there. Like, I mean, even though I haven't experienced it, I'm still a woman. And, of course, I'm going to have that empathy no matter what. So I really,
yes.
I am. This is something that should touch everyone who's listening today. You got a mother, you have a sister, aunt, grandmother, everybody. Jaina, how do you celebrate all this, though?
You know, I celebrate. You know, I celebrate by, you know, I celebrate by wearing my good clothes every day, as I mentioned earlier. I celebrate, you know, I celebrate by appreciating every day, which I didn't before. My personality lives in the future. I'm already thinking what I'm going to do later today, you know, and tomorrow while I'm talking to you. So now I celebrate every moment, every sunrise, every sunset. You know, a lot of people do that naturally with their nature, but that wasn't for me. I was so busy doing and going and going. And so that's one of the ways I celebrate. And I just celebrate by celebrating what God has done for me, that I know that I know that I know that He has healed me, and He's healed me for a purpose. So how exciting is that?
Oh, yes. And come just make me think, life is just too short. Too short to deal with the foolishness, too short to just deal with the negativity. And that's what I love, Jaina, about you, because you're not dealing with the negative stuff. You're dealing with only the positive stuff around you, and that's how you're supposed to be. You got to surround yourself with the positive energy.
That's right. And, you know, and that's what I learned is that, you know, life is too short to spend with negative people. So I've distanced myself from some friends that, you know, they just suck the energy out of you. You try so hard to pump them up and for them to come over on the positive side, and for whatever reason, their nature or whatever, you just can't do it. And so, you know, so I'm not rude. I just don't seek them out. And I just make a point of seeking out other people, especially other, you know, girlfriends that are positive and upbeat, you know, and so forth. And then also I celebrate by not sweating the small stuff, that now, you know, my husband and I around our house, if we go through a tough time, we can say, you know what, this situation really stinks. This situation is really bad, but it's not cancer. So we now have a new measuring stick of what's bad and what's not. And so, you know, that gives us a new perspective in life, that to not sweat the small stuff.
Exactly. And you shouldn't have to. You're supposed to enjoy every bit of it.
Yeah.
So, Jaina, what's your next move now? Because you got the Breakfast Club and the ministry. What's next for you?
Well, I'm waiting for God to send me a postcard and tell me what's next. I'm thoroughly enjoying my time with you and doing some, you know, talk radio interviews and some television interviews and so forth. You know, I'm looking forward in the future to speaking to, you know, women's conferences and so forth, big conferences, and I do travel, you know, across the country for that. And in the future, I do have a couple more books that I've been putting off writing, but it just takes so much time. But, you know, when God wants you to do that, He clears your schedule and clears your calendar, and you know, then it's very clear it's time to, you know, sit in the chair and write again. So I'm just excited. Every day I wake up and I'm excited to see what God has in store.
I know, and I can't wait till you come out with some more books. Do you think they're going to be pertaining to what you already wrote, or how to keep continuing in this process?
Well, it'll always be about hanging on to your faith, about hanging on to your faith when you think that God has forgotten you.
Well, I hope nobody don't think He's forgotten about you. He don't forget about His angels. Even if you make a mistake, He still forgive you. He loves you.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I do. I love Almighty God. He's powerful. And Jaina, and I'm thrilled and excited all at one time, because you are living, you just proof. She is. She's the proof. She's telling you right now, this, you can overcome it, but first you got to believe. You got to claim that. You got to believe. If you feel that you're not a believer, then it's not going to work. Because one thing about a doctor can only do so much. God let them do only so much, but then he has to do the rest. So, Jaina, where can people actually find out more about your book and public speaking?
Well, the book Fight Fear and Foster Faith is available at Amazon.com, and that's the easy place to find it. And my website, love to hear from you. My website is Jana, J-A-N-A-F-L-A-I-G, so it's flag, like salute the flag, but with an I in it, F-L-A-I-G.com, janaflag.com. And there's a cute little email button that you can push, and you can email me, and we can be in touch. So the website and Amazon.com are the two best places to find me.
Well, Jane, I tell you, as I'm going to keep saying it because it is an inspiration for so many of us out here, especially for a woman. I thank you for joining us today and taking out your time to be with us, sharing your story.
Well, thank you so much. I've enjoyed our time together and laughing with you.
I know, right? I love to laugh. And Jane, I like you because you love to laugh too.
You betcha. Yeah, yeah.
Look, if we was in a restaurant, we would get put out because I love to laugh.
Well, and you know what? I have been put out of restaurants for laughing too much and tears run down your face. You just have to have them throw the meal in a box and you have to leave.
That's because they're unhappy. They don't understand.
Yeah,
they don't understand. I love when people laugh.
Yeah, how could that be disruptive when you're having a good time? Well, and if you ever come out to California wine country, you call me and we'll go to a restaurant and we'll laugh and see how long it takes to be put out.
Okay, because where I work at, I work for the Marriott, and I hear it all the time. And sometimes, I don't know about you, Jana, but when people laugh, I sometimes laugh. I never know sometimes what they're talking about, but the way they're laughing, I start laughing. I'll be like, why am I laughing? I don't even know what you're talking about, but I'm laughing because you're laughing.
That's right, and that's why we want to hang out with happy people and, you know, hang out, watch funny programs and movies and surround ourselves with that because it's contagious.
It is, and I hope everybody's taking heed to that. Have laughter in your life, love and joy. And as you know, I have had other guests on the show talking about staying calm, focused, and number one thing is keeping God first. Jane is the proof. She lived through it. She unexperienced it, and she's still continuing her life. You don't have to give up. You don't. Well, Jana, it has been a true pleasure having you on this show, and I hope we can have you again later on in the future.
You betcha. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, and you have a blessed one, Jana. Much love to you and your family.
Same to you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, my guests, I am so happy that you joined me today and listened to Jana. And I hope that you take, like I said, just take this heed because life is too short to focus on so many of our problems. We have to look at the bigger picture of it all. God is for us. Tomorrow is not promised. You got to work, focus on today. So I hope that you are focusing on today and that you pass on that love. If you see somebody, you know, give them a hug. Help them out. It's always intended because you don't know when their last day might be. You don't know what the last words you might say to them. So enjoy that time. Now, for tomorrow on the show, I will have Christy Kennedy. She's an entrepreneur. A very nice young lady. So we'll be having her to talk about how to get yourself started in business, especially for you women. So I hope you do tune in with me tomorrow at 12 o'clock. And you know I'm going to be here rocking it on Blog Talk Radio with you. So you have a blessed one. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.